Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 316, part 2, the conclusion to Fear Not. Today is Sunday, November 3rd, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Some people say, I know you'll just dig your heels in. Yeah, I dig my heels in because I'm on the plow. Do you ever see somebody plow that kind of stands on their tiptoes? Well, they'll go right over. Man, you got to lay back and you got to dig in with your feet. Yeah, I'm stubborn. Probably more stubborn than the mule that's pulling the plow, and I'm stubborn towards going ahead and not looking back. There's nothing to look back at most times. Right? Why get into the remember whens? Satan would love to destroy any of God's work by discouragement. I think if people would spend as much time building up as they do tearing down, there would be no hungry people anywhere. And if people would spend more time doing a good job, on their job, and you always got a few like that that will discourage, right? And Dick, when you go out, you like to do a good job, don't you? Sure. You don't walk in there and say, here's your package, whoop, 40-pound package. No, you run in and you hit the elevator, fifth floor, then you punch 30 on there, and you've got a time, see? So you run down there and you punch 30, and then after you punch 30, you punch 5 again, run back in, it stops there, you get on the elevator and go down, so you're organized. Did you ever think of doing that? Think about it. A little coffee break for you down the line. Yeah, I used to do that when I was a kid, playing around these buildings, running away from the police up and down in these elevators. Oh, I'm sorry I said that. Well, I said it, so I guess I'll have to suffer. Huh? Oh, give me a home where God's Spirit doth roam and the skies are not cloudy all day, where seldom is heard a discouraging word and God's people are not on the phone. I think them phones sometimes, when they get too hot, should tilt. And all you could hear was that, I guess you'd have to call it an electronic burper. Burp. Are you hearing this? And so discouragement, you see, is very natural to us, and we like to be discouraged. Don't we sometimes like to be discouraged? Huh? Oh, we like it. Oh, what are you discouraged about? Huh? I don't know. You can even tell it, you know. How you doing, huh? People like to be discouraged. It's natural to us. Our soil readily receives it. And we try to find something to be discouraged about. See, because to believe is supernatural. It's the work, it says, of the Spirit of God. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so to doubt is natural to the fallen man and all of us. Our heart is open to unbelief. Is there anyone here that has a time when they're not a believer? I mean, a believing believer? And you don't wonder sometimes, I wonder if this is really all true. Have you ever thought that? Oh, I won't work is easily received into our fallen nature. These are discouragement weeds. You know what? Discouragement weeds need no encouragement to not grow. They grow. Half-heartedness, faint-heartedness, the Bible. Hangs hanging down, weak knees, the Bible says. Shoulders rounded and drooped. How'd you like to have a plumber come in looking like that at 40 or 50 bucks an hour? And they come in there. And that's why you're afraid to call people, because they come in, they got this hang down look like they're doing you a big favor coming in there to fix that toilet. And they take this white coat on and they look at the thing and they have to make a summation. That's 50 bucks just for figuring out what's wrong with the thing. Probably a diaper stuck in there or something like that. It's plugged. I mean, that's just simple. It's plugged up. Huh? I just told a guy one time, I said, I don't want you looking at this thing. I just want you to unplug it. I know there's a diaper down in that thing. Get it out of there. As quickly as you can. Are you hearing this? Yeah, it's natural to us to be half-hearted, faint-hearted, hands hanging down, Tom Dooley, shoulders rounded and drooped, and then there always come those people, do-nothing people, with a word of discouragement for you. A word. Or a look will do it. You know how you can do with your looks? You come in and you see a person's upset. Let's say you were upset with the dishwashing in the back. You know, when you're washing dishes. And someone comes in and gives you that sympathetic look like, oh, you poor guy. Look at the mess you got with all of these pots and pans. You'd probably give them a jingle, wouldn't you, Jingles? Yeah. Yep. Huh? But it's just a look. I mean, they can come in, there's a spirit they have when they walk into your shop or your church or whatever, or where you work, and they can just give you a look like, oh, golly, there's Ron. He's working on these tips and things. I mean, hey, poor guy. Hi, Ron. I know. I used to work here. I know how it's... I just come to visit. Still at it, huh, guy? Say, yeah, I'm here. I'm making a living, a good living. I'm glad to have this job. What are you doing? Oh, I'm going to school. When you haven't got nothing to do, go to school. Even if you are 100 years old. And I'm not against going to school, and God knows I should probably go back. I mean, that's what people tell me. I had a guy call me on the phone. I'm going to send you a tape of our preacher that speaks so eloquently and with such diction, and the words are so pronounced that, I mean, he's just a fine. And so he sent me a tape. I almost threw up. But a word or a look will do it. And so I will not excuse this, but I'll challenge myself for allowing it. Don't allow that when it creeps into your... If it comes into your house, don't allow it. If one of the children gets one of those kind of a things, let's say the older child gets into that kind of rebellious things, and that happens. Mutiny on the bounty type thing. Don't you crush it right away when you see it? When the older one starts complaining? Mumble, grumble. And then the rest of them, they kind of take up on that spirit, see? Then maybe they'll get, Mom! Dad! Huh? Just line them all up and say, hey, what's this Mom and Dad? How would you like if I called you out like that? Wouldn't that be sickening to wake up in the morning to something like that? Kathy! Get up, huh? Just crush it right there. Give them the same dose of their own medicine, right? And then they see how stupid it is, and they have a good laugh, and you go back to being natural again, see? What's natural? Oh, you have fights. That's natural. My mother used to get in. We used to have hog piles at home. My mother would be on top. Hog pile! My mother would be right there, hog pile. Whoa! Right down there with us. So I got this crooked arm. I mean, they said, look at Solomon's temple. This work we do is so puny, why continue? It won't please God. This is the enemy's work right there. And many fall for it. Lay down their hammers, they pound a little slower. Pound, pound. Or they just quit altogether. I mean, these people don't appreciate us building and doing the work of God. I mean, look, hey. Huh? The difference is God said to do it. Just like you tell your children. I don't care what... captain of the ship said, the oldest one, but I mean, I am telling you what to do. I'm the Lord over this house. And so, because we can't do much, we have resolved to do nothing. Off days. I mean, why cook soup? I mean, why have a bread ministry on the street? Why preach salvation? Because what we did was so poor, we quit the work altogether. You know, one more discouragement and it will be a sign from God, people think. What if Jesus would have said that? He lived one discouragement after another. People are always looking for, their discerners are on, well, one more thing and I'll just know it's from God. One more discouragement. There's always discouragements. That's not a God. Aren't you discouraged on your job every day? Some discouragement comes your way. Someone slops stuff on the floor. You got to clean it up. You know, this happens. Wayne wanted in Ward 6, Bed 5, accident. Oh, man, the same person? I mean, can't you get up? I mean, just get out of bed. You're the most active person here. I seen you doing backflips. Huh? Aren't there discouragements? What if Jesus would have said, one more discouragement, I'll know that's from the Father, and I'll just quit, and I'll just get out of here. See, that's where the danger is in the will of God. What is the will of God? Well, you know, people don't really know, actually, positively, in every instant, what the will of God is. No one does. He can change his mind. Oh, no. No, once he's put it down there, that's the way it is. No. love can overlooks all things, bears all things, endures all things, never takes into account a wrong suffered. And so he can cancel out all those positives with his sovereignty, his absolutes with his sovereignty. Well, I overrule that absolute and I'm going to use my sovereignty now. I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to save you anyway. I'm going to override what I said. I'm going to have the blood of my son cover you, so I'll just see you as holy. That's how I'll resolve that sin. Oh, isn't that great? Well, that's like saying the baby is so small, why even feed it? When I was born, I weighed 17 pounds. And this is only a 6-pounder. Why waste time? This is a small work. God, I mean, look at this little puny little thing compared to what I was when I was born. Wow. Isn't that absurd and isn't it wicked? See, the enemy can use humility for his work as well as pride. And you know, whether he makes us think too much or too little of our work, it's all the same to him so long as he can get us from doing it. Well, the man with one talent, the Bible says, and I'm wrapping it up here, buried it because he was less afraid to bury it. I mean, the interest wouldn't be too great anyway. God ain't going to care. It's just a small work, so he won't do it. I mean, he won't take that into. He's after these big fish out there that are bringing in thousands and millions and so on. Like, he's going to get them. No, you just on one point. If God has given you a work to do, a task to do, no matter how small it may be in your mind, if you don't complete it, it's as bad as not completing a great big work that God has entrusted. Just as, and probably even more. I mean, why bring anything to the Lord if it's so little? How about the woman with the two mites? Well, we can be easily discouraged with a small work, can't we? Well, I'm just doing a little thing here. Wayne came in here Friday and cleaned all this whole church up. Dusted and waxed. Did you use pledge on them, did you? What? Pride? End dust. Okay, just checking out. Used end dust on all these seats in here. Of course, it won't end the dust. It just stops it for a while, but I mean, it was a small thing. So what? So what? Nothing. It was a great work. I was here from 4 o'clock to 8:30 at night, dusting all these seats and cleaning up the sanctuary. And then did you see the outside out there? It was all waxed nice and everything. And Janine and Carolyn were out there on their hands and knees scrubbing with steel wool. I mean, it's such a small work down here, and there isn't a lot of money. I mean, it might fold at any minute. Why do this? Oh, I quit. God doesn't like that spirit. But isn't the church looking great? Well, there's been a lot of discouragement. You could have quit. Oh, man, I could have quit a lot of times. I mean, if you dig your heels in, see? Okay. Isn't faint-heartedness common when we get faint of heart? And being discouraged is so contagious, isn't it? Isn't it contagious? Hey, this is 1987. People won't believe the gospel, says the devil. The people were discouraged at the Red Sea when Pharaoh's chariots came. Or when they found no water. Or when their bread supply was gone. They were discouraged, it says, when they heard about the giants. See what cowardice can do? Don't listen to discouragement. It's all around you. Business people, if you're listening to me right now on the radio, don't be discouraged by the... don't live your life off of Wall Street. They're off the wall anyway. Don't live your life in fear and discouragement and panic. Sell, buy. I don't know what to do. God, I don't know. Hold fast. stand still. Be an encourager in whenever discouragement comes. It's so dreadfully weakening. And why is it? Because the prophet said, be strong. And that's what I'd tell our people here in this town, in this church, in this community, and in the world. Be strong. Well, you know, any army that is one-minded is powerful. But you know, if you have to beat that army to fight because of fear, they are useless. It's the same with the church being moved by rebukes, or a business that has to move on rebukes. And I told you guys to clean this. And you have to take out the whip after these people. Whappo, whappo, get in there, clean that kennel. Whappo, whappo, get in there, deliver that package. Whap, whap. It isn't going to go no place. Here's a whip. Go on out and whip yourself. I haven't got time for it. I got to get new people in here. Right? There's a lot of time being wasted, people. Time being wasted trying to convince people to build a wall, to do the work of the Lord. Why waste time? Do you want to do it or don't you want to do it? The question is, will you or won't you? You have 30 seconds. Tick, tock, like the game shows. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Do you want it or don't you? 30 seconds. Well, I don't know. I need more time. Time's up. That's what you got to tell people when they come to work. You want to work today? Got 30 seconds. And I won't count that off your time card. Tick, tock, tick, tock. If it's a big decision to go to work and they're getting paid for it, and glory to God, if we really believe the gospel and that we're getting rewards in heaven, wouldn't we be glad to go to work? I don't think a lot of people believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, or if there's any rewards afterward, they don't believe in God, period. Or they'd be working like everything and giving to the church, wouldn't they? If you really believed it. Where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. How would you like to lead a discouraged army to war? How would you like to have a discouraged army protecting your country? Well, discouragement not only weakens men, but it takes them off their service to God. The prophet said, be strong, all ye people of the Lord, and work. And they had ceased, it says in the Bible, to build. They began to talk and they began to argue. They laid down their brick and they laid down their trowel. I remember coming in here and that was a massive undertaking. I mean, it was just massive. You can't imagine the work that had to be done. There's no way I can explain it to you. And there was a group that came in, and one fellow was very apt at doing things. But then, of course, being apt doesn't make that going to work. And then all of a sudden there was, oh, man, I don't know. Well, why don't you do it this way? Because I don't want it that way. Okay, then you have dissension, and then you have a kind of a deal, you know, where you're kind of beholding to people. That's when you have to let folks go and say, God is a provider. And if you feel like you don't want to do this thing, well, you're free to go. And you know what? God will bring somebody in that wants to do it. Maybe to prove that you really love what you're doing, you'll have to do it by yourself for a while. But God will honor that work, and he'll honor that thing. And pretty soon he'll bring somebody in that really wants to do it without complaining. And so they became very extremely, let's say, wise in their observations, in their criticisms, in their prophecies. Oh, there's a crack here and there's a crack, and look, it isn't going to work, and so on like that. See, giving out a word, if it isn't a working word, won't work. One person knew exactly how big the old temple was, and what's the difference how big it was? And another said, the temple is not built very scientifically, and who cares anyway? Wrong kind of stone, not square enough. Listen, One person like that in your outfit can spread the seeds of discouragement through the whole, not only church, but business, community, world. One seed of discouragement. It needs to be uprooted, and it needs to say, go plant yourself elsewhere. Because we're all attacked by that discouragement. Quarantine yourself against this, let's call it again, spiritual AIDS problem, where all of your immunities are down and you're in a very weakened condition and someone comes along with something like that. And so here's the ending of this message. Encouragement imparted. According to my word, coveted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth with you, fear not. Stop looking for flowered up messages. Stop running around looking for a new thing. My spirit remaineth with you, according to my word I promised to you, says the Lord. Well, how do we get out of this one, Lord? Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. And if I've learned one thing, it's to stand, having done all, stand and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I know a lot of you folks that are listening are tired of hearing that, but my golly, it works. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to scream. Well, scream then. Some kind of life coming out of you. Because the devil wants you to be discouraged. Check yourself out today. Are you an encouraged person? Are you a discouraged person? Now, you could be discouraged, Sue. I mean, you've been on this house deal for a long time, and it has discouragements, right? You could be encouraged also, right? All I'm here, and I got a roof over my head. I got it all to myself. It's an encouragement. And I'm going to be encouraged, and God will honor that, and I'm going to buff and clean and keep my yard up and do everything and go on just like life as natural and normal and not get discouraged and not look at people's faces. Oh, poor guys, no word yet? Oh, man, what's happening? Oh, market's got a lot to do with it. Oh, well, Why not be encouraged? Why not be encouraged? Refuse to be discouraged. Refuse it. I mean, take a broom and sweep and beat discouragers out of your house. Get out of here, you discourager! Preachers, are you hearing this? Don't be discouraged at their looks or dismayed either at their looks, it says in Ezekiel. Let the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God remaineth among you to aid and assist the ministry which you have already been given. Why should any ministry that's already founded and going and has made several sacrifices be discouraged? God says, the Spirit of God remaineth among you to aid and assist the ministry which he has already given. Already started. Already provided for. Why are you discouraged because this or that doesn't happen? Don't be discouraged, you listening on the radio. God is with you. His Spirit remaineth. Don't fear the future. Oh, and there's so many fearing the future now. Don't worry about supplies. Because when the church of God moves forward, God supplies his armies. Don't worry about money. Don't get into that. What God has started, he will continue to help. Don't be discouraged by people's looks. Don't be discouraged by their talk, and don't be discouraged by their actions, and don't enter into it. And so many of the discouraged that allow the Spirit to possess them will shrivel up and know that either you face life as it is, even though probably you've made mistakes along the way, and God knows we all make them. Well, some might even say it's a mistake that God wants to save us. God doesn't make mistakes. God has is encouraged by the least little. When your kids do something, doesn't it encourage you? I mean, they haven't done nothing. This kid, and I know you got all good kids, but let's say you had one that would not listen. Whatever. And then they do one little thing, and you go in there saying, golly, this encourages me. Huh? This is an encouragement. The kid actually got out of bed. Or that, I mean, well, it's a little going a little too far, but I mean, actually cleaned up a room. Isn't that an encouragement? It doesn't take much to encourage God. Why does it have to be so much to encourage us? You get $1,000? Well, I wish I would have got two. Huh? You know, you wish you would have had the $10 million. You wish that, what's his name that he gives these $10 million deals out? Ed McMahon. Hello? Hi, this is Ed. Here's Ed. Finally. Here's Ed. You just won $2 million. Oh, shucks, I thought I would have. I won the $10 million prize. Okay. All right, I'll take it. Sometimes you can't encourage people. Jim, he's easily encouraged. I mean, I really love this guy because he's easily encouraged. Me, you can just go up and say, here's $1.50, go get a Mick, what do they call them, Mick Castles? Yeah, something like that. Mick White Castle. Isn't that what they call him? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. And he's all encouraged. Oh, praise God. And that's so great, Jim, because, see, you're encouraged. I mean, if Ed McMahon come to your door, well, you'd probably be so encouraged, you'd say, go get yourself a Mick Castle. No, but I think, and all kidding aside, it's just great that you're so easily encouraged. God knows there's been enough people trying to discourage you. And you know what? It encourages me that you're not discouraged. It does my old heart good to see Carolyn is not discouraged. And there's always the discouragers there. Oh, you should try this or you should try that, Carolyn. Huh? You know what that is? That's the devil. And they're always out there trying to discourage you. People. Tracer. There's always people out there doing that. I'm not easily discouraged. Not openly. And you know, a certain amount of pride's all right. I'd never let anybody know if I was that I am. And then I talk myself into it. You ever said to yourself in the mirror, I will not be discouraged? Okay, all right then. Okay, here it is. I promise. I think there are a lot of people that are whining nowadays about things. I not too long ago had a family that came in and they were going to do what you did, clean the church. They were going to take care of it, the whole family. And I called them the Whiner family. I was listening, it was echoing down through the hallway, and they said like this. And the dad said, come on, Mom. Come on, we're going to clean up the church. And I thought, what is that noise? And I listened.
Mom, Mom says the vacuum's downstairs. Junior, go on down and get the vacuum cleaner.
And Junior says,
Mom, that vacuum cleaner is 48 steps down and 48 steps up.
And I said,
Oh, You guys don't have to clean the church. Somebody already cleaned it.
Salvation message. When the Holy Spirit, you listening on the radio, begins to strive with you to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't be discouraged by anything that you have seen as of late. Maybe you'll be apt to say, I cannot, I dare not, it is impossible. How can I believe and then just live? And to all of you who are not anxious to be saved, God loves you, and don't allow discouragers to sway you because the devil wants to keep you. Oh, I hear someone saying, if I were to begin, I'd never keep on. I'm afraid I would fall. No, see, if you begin, perhaps not, but you are not the one that begins. God first loved you, but what God begins, he keeps on saving. Get that straight, legalist, that God knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. It's an encouragement, isn't it? I turned my light off for you. God loved you before the foundation of the world was even founded as an encouragement. I see in you, I knew what you were going to be like, but I predestinated, and I want to encourage you that I want to, anyone that calls upon my name will be saved, and I'll cover them with the blood, no matter how nasty and perverted that they are, and I will forgive their sins, and I will remember them no more. And when they get to heaven, of course, there'll be rewards and disrewards for what they've done, but they'll all make it to heaven on account of what I did, not on what they did. And so don't you worry about keeping on what I started. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, and what I've started out to do, I will complete. And don't you start worrying about your salvation, otherwise you'll stunt the growth and discourage others from coming in the door. Why are you like the Pharisees that stand in the door and you won't let anyone else enter because you're too perfect? Why are you like that legalist? Why are you like that? You won't let them enter in. Cast ye the first stone, says the Lord. Be that one that's the forgiving one. If you're of mine, you'll be that forgiving heart. If you are mine, you'll do the work that I've set you out to do. If you are mine, you won't be discouraged, but you'll go on what I have said. I've started a work down here in the north side. I started a work over here in Ethiopia. Why are you discouraged? Why are you dismayed? Why don't you keep on doing this work? What's to stop you from doing it? I'm still with you. Who's discouraging you? Who's defeating you? You're defeated by yourself and by the devil. Why don't you come and do my work? Why don't you just simply preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and say that all that will come and all that will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, period. And why confuse it with baptisms and rituals and all of these things? Why don't you say, call upon my name and ye shall be saved, and go on out and do that work, and stop complaining and stop grumbling and stop griping and simply do what I've told you to do. Go on out and minister to all creation. Isn't it simple? Don't get all puffed up in what you're doing. And on the other hand, don't just fall on the floor and say it's of no use. I have begun a work and I shall see it done. My salvation is mine, saith the Lord, and salvation is of God alone. So if there's anyone in here that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, you're not dealing with persons. You're not dealing with dogma doctrine. You're not dealing with anything. God is dealing with you. His Spirit is saying to you on the radio, simply admit you're a sinner and come to Christ and say, I have sinned and fallen short. Come into my life and save me. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? It's so simple, people don't even want to believe it. And so they add to it and they ruin it and they discourage people. Yes, but I think I know everybody here in this vast audience that we have here. Got a good memory. I mean, I've led most of you to the Lord here. So, but anyway, that's the message for today. And you know, kids, you know, even in your own natural lives, I mean, this holds true. I mean, you can minister to the world just like anybody else down on your job. You know, say, someone's discouraged. Say, oh, don't be discouraged. They go up and down. The boss is one day, he's crabby next day. But basically, he's a pretty nice guy. I mean, hey, he's got his problems. He's got to deal with management. And encourage people. Because you know why? It'll make your day easier. Doesn't it make your day easier to have encouragers around instead of discouragers? Doesn't it? How'd you like to have someone helping you over there with them dishes that would throw the pot? Here comes a number 40 pot! Hey! Huh? Isn't that nice when you have someone, Jim, that's encouraging, that's with you, you know what I mean? That's not a total expert. Boy, they're something to work with, experts. I mean, they're total experts. Oh, yeah, don't tell me how to do this thing. I did it for 48 years. I drive a truck. I'm a truck driver. Huh? Huh? And just encourage people. Encourage yourself. You know, in Nehemiah, he couldn't get anybody to encourage him, so he went off into a separate place and he encouraged himself. Okay, Nehemiah. Okay, doing a fine job. Some say don't build, and some say do build, and some say don't build a wall, some say do build a wall. I mean, you got to encourage yourself. And some say lay down the sword, some say let the banks charge whatever interest they want to, and so on like that. But hey, I'm going to encourage myself. Okay, all you guys, I encouraged myself, and when I was encouraging myself, God came and encouraged me. You know what he told me? He told all you, he said, don't charge interest to these folks out there that are doing the Lord's work. And in fact, you come out of there, pick up the trowel, and get busy. And stop and take those wheelbarrows you've been wheeling the money into the banks with and bring them out here and fill them up with plaster and mud and so on. Like, and let's get busy building the wall, all of us. All of us encourage one another. Should have called this tape encouragement. This encouraged me. I feel encouraged. I don't know what I'm encouraged to do, but something. I mean, got to find some place to cut loose your encouragement. You know what I mean? I'm encouraged. I've always been kind of that way, I guess. I have to encourage myself because some of my ideas are so crazy you can't find anybody to agree with you. Isn't that right, Ken? You ever had that in your life where you just can't find somebody to agree with you because, oh, that's a nutsy idea. Oh, sure, Kent. Oh, yeah. Great. Huh? Good idea, Dick. $10 car, huh? Oh, yeah. That piece of junk. And you're still driving it, I bet, aren't you? How's it running? Like a $10 car, right. Hey, God can bless a $10 car. Huh? You don't have to pay that insurance on it anyway. If somebody hits it, so what? You'd be paying $300 a year on, what do you call it? Well, there's liability and then there's collision. Comprehensive insurance. Who does a it's hard to comprehend that, isn't it? Paying that much money. Lord, just bless this audience here today. And Lord, bless each one to be an encourager to one another and not to get into the field of discouragement and get up with a discouraged face and a discouraged look and all the pretty soon the kids are discouraged and everybody. I'm gonna get a new family and it's gonna call the discouraged family and just the whole family. Ever been in a family that's all discouraged? We have a whole ministry. It's thrilling, isn't it? Someday we'll have a whole ministry on the discouraged family that's totally discouraged. What do they need? Encouragement. Go on out and be an encouragement. You going to sing today, Sue? Encourage us with a song. Okay. God bless y'all.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 316. That was part two, To Fear Not. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Be sure to join us next Friday for part one of Patience. Have a great week, and God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
you're gonna have to serve some.
Some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
Indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.